Oh, shit. I'm so excited to talk about what I did this weekend.
Well, let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex.
Oh, fuck.
It's the After Boat Loving Podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
All right.
All right, so James, you were going to say a thing. Or are we going to talk about drinks first?
Yeah, let's do drinks
first. And then you'll
forget
about the thing you were going to say.
I might.
All right.
And then later, you'll be like, what was I going to say? And I was like, I don't know, drinking.
I'm going to write it down.
Well, how about we start with this? While he's writing it down, we've actually got two drinks.
Yes, we have.
One, because the first one is a scotch, and the next one will be something for more long-term. First one we have is...
His CD has just rolled over, and he doesn't know why. He's
I know,
like,
right?
I'm not dead yet.
Something's... wrong. No, the first one is the Tomaten 12-year French oak.
Ooh.
I am really excited about this.
Mm-hmm. This is the last of the last batch. Mm-hmm. The last bottle of the last batch that Cedius brought over.
Mm-hmm. And thanks to him.
Mm-hmm. Very much so.
Ah.
So we wanted to make sure that we didn't forget this one.
Mm.
All right.
I want to say a lot of nail polish remover on the on the nose.
Oh, buddy.
Yep.
Oh, God.
I agree.
What?
You want to know what else is weird?
Huh.
I'm getting, like, Greek olives.
I would agree with that assessment, actually. That's,
Huh.
But, like, on the back end, like, after a minute. Like,
yeah.
At first, your face is like, whoa.
Which?
Buddy.
Oh, what did we, what were those called?
Calamita olives?
No, the not teenies.
Katamari?
Is that what they were? The not teenies?
Yeah, I think so.
Where we just had like a shot of vodka with an olive in it?
Yeah.
What did we call them? What those not teenies?
I don't know, okay. Sure.
We called them, those were a thing for a while, a year back or so.
Yeah, this one is not for me.
If that was like the case here, then olive would not be a miss. But yeah, this is...
I'll give,
I feel like gin drinkers would appreciate
that one. A little
splash
of that to you.
This is surprisingly abrasive for a 12-year.
Yeah.
Mm.
That was not what I was expecting.
Ah. I've never heard of the terrible 12.
It's actually making my eyes water a little.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's because of that French oak.
I'm going to dab a little of this behind my ears, though.
Oh, so to repel all of the women?
There are mosquitoes out.
Fair enough. And the other thing we're drinking, now that we've got that.
Yes.
James brought over some cider.
Yeah. On my, I guess, probably never-ending quest to find a cider to replace the cider that I have lost.
To all the ciders I've drunk before.
Truly.
God, all of them? Holy fuck.
Whew, it is many.
That's a lot.
I could have my own podcast about it.
Ooh.
These are Blake's Hard Cider Company. It's a 12-pack, a bushel of Blake's.
Okay, Blake.
Made with our own apples picked from our own backyard in Armada, Michigan.
Michigan, huh? All right, so you got a variety pack here,
yes.
So we each have a different one.
Yeah, there are four different kinds in here, and three of us, so three of them got picked.
I got the Grizzly Pear.
Yeah.
Made with pears. Not bears.
Mm.
Infused with elderflower.
Yeah, that sounds so fucking good.
I have the Wake Fire Michigan Cherries and Orange Peel. It doesn't say, let's see, hard cider for easy living. It doesn't really say anything entertaining.
Oh, mine says, reading labels makes you a more informed person. Mm. We are glad that you decided to be smart today. Good job.
Huh. Mine is mildly funny. Hard cider for easy living. We like spicing things up. That's why we put dimmers on the lights in our cider house, and it's why we created this sweet, heated blend of habanero pepper, mango, and our famous Blake's apples.
Let's see. I have... It's impossible to replicate a Michigan summer. Recreating a northern night under the stars would be a futile endeavor.
Hmm.
So we've done the next best thing. We've crafted Summer's perfect ally, Experience Wakefire.
Hmm.
A comforting blend of blah, 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 blah.
The last one that we...
Mine's not exciting.
The last one that none of us are trying is the Flannel Mouth,
mm-hmm.
which is their just straight-up cider.
Mm-hmm.
And this can says, easy hard cider for easy living.
Mm-hmm.
In the world of hard ciders, this is the smooth talker, the one who throws out compliments to complete strangers. Crafted from hand-picked apples from our own trees, Flannel Mouth has just enough sweet to make the other beers blush.
Huh. But it's not a beer. It's cider.
That was my thought.
But anyway. I wanted to tell you. Crack them.
Find out if these are any good.
Sure.
I all do right. love Perry, so we'll find out if this is...
I'll drink that.
Oh.
All right, by me.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Might actually taste like cherries from like a pie. Mm. Yeah.
Like a sweeter cherry as opposed to a tart cherry?
Yeah. I expected tartar.
You want to try this?
Sure.
Well, you shouldn't have tartar in a beer at all. Yeah, that is, it's kind of got the cinnamony cherry of...
Oh, buddy.
I like that.
It's pretty good.
That one's quite good. The Wakefire is
yeah.
very tasty.
I'm very happy with the Wakefire.
Yeah, that one's all right.
Yeah. May I?
Yes, of course.
All right.
All right. Well, I think we're all happy with these.
Oh, wow. All right.
All right.
This weekend, I did many things. I engaged in a construction project with Jenna
Young. You got engaged?
More like a telephone than like a fiancé.
Ring?
Ha!
Boom!
Get out of your podcast.
No, that's...
finally!
No, leave the booth.
Finally.
No, you have to stay.
No. God. Fuck you.
Otherwise...
That was funny. I'm sorry. No. The difference...
No.
You can't leave, though.
The difference between that one and the puns that James and I say is that one was fucking gold. Not the shit that we put out.
No. There's a reason the fart cabinet's on our side.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. I am mildly pleased with myself.
Well, yeah.
You should be.
Yeah, as you should be. Yeah. And I was not murdered yet so far.
Yet.
Oh. It was definitely an adventure in not being murdered.
Yeah. James and I have a really good habit of saying the same thing in different ways, so we end up arguing the same point,
mm-hmm.
But thinking that we're saying different things.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
I've had those conversations with him so many times.
Oh, so this is a James thing, not...
This is absolutely a James thing, because James doesn't like to say things the way a human being says things.
Oh, no, that makes sense. Like when you called it a ramp.
I called it many things. She's fixated on it being a ramp, and I've just chosen to accept it.
That was the first one that you called it, and that's like what stuck in my head.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just saying, I've had this conversation with James so many times, because James doesn't want to just say the thing. He's going to try to be clever and verbalize it in...
I don't think he was trying to
weird
be
language.
No.
And okay,
I was trying to...
No, but not even... But the thing is, he's not trying on purpose. It's just that's who he is.
Oh, that makes sense.
There's something wrong with me.
Also,
is what Salsa's trying to say.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh well, why didn't you just say that, Salsa? I feel like we've been arguing the same point.
Oh, fuck. I think all three of us have been arguing that point.
Oh, that's fucking brilliant, see?
Look, I've already dropped 2 gold on the
couch. Yeah, no.
So I'm done for the night. Have fun, kids.
So, we have the majority of the wooden Lego pieces that go together to make a door.
Yeah.
For mysterious purposes.
Ooh.
Mysterious door purposes.
It's gonna be pretty fucking badass.
I'm pretty excited about it. Yeah.
I am too.
Yeah.
I don't think we're going to be able to move it during the show, though. So.
No.
Going to have to figure something out.
Huh.
Mm. Not in the amount of time that we have.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's take a look at it. Let's see what we can figure out.
No, we're not changing that. We'll all change my staging.
Do you need
staging.
Some casters or something?
We bought casters.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a hefty thing.
All right.
Yeah.
And I've got exactly one person to move it, so.
Yeah. There is weight to it already, and it's not even done yet. So there's that. Mm-hmm. And then on Sunday, I participated in the Fearless Presents dad joke off.
Mm. I'm sorry I missed it. I was still
doing
fringe stuff.
No. Yeah.
Not even close to feeling bad about missing that.
Yeah, if Jenna had been there, everyone would already know it because there would have been a mass murder on the evening news. Is functionally, yes.
That's fair.
Local woman completely eviscerates crowd of 30. News at 11. It's really, yeah.
Oh, fuck. Jenna went to the show. All
right. You just get the eyewitness testimony on the news. It's just like, we were just enjoying the show, and suddenly this screeching came from one side, and suddenly it was just all red.
There was a whirlwind of death, as if someone had put, what was it, alcohol and spinach into a blender.
Yes. Tornado.
It was just a very tiny streak went past me, and then it was just red.
Yes. Blood everywhere. A Tarantino-esque fountain of blood. So I won the dad joke competition.
Did anyone actually win?
There is that question that remains unanswered. But based on the rules of the show, I apparently won.
Hmm.
Yeah. And I am apparently not above using, like, inside information. Kyle and I, when we were on the street, we were doing our regular dad joke bit, and Kyle fucked up a joke real hard. It was the garbanzo bean joke.
And nobody noticed.
Right.
No, everybody noticed.
Thank you.
Yeah, we were both real sun drunk. We were parked on a bench and, like, getting a little crowd assembled, and Kyle was feeling pretty confident, and he said, you know the difference between a garbanzo bean and a chickpea is, right? Chicks have peed on my face. And I looked over at him, and I was like, Kyle? And he went, fuck! And I was like, Kyle, there are children. And he's like, ignore that. That never happened. So then
this is going downhill quickly.
Oh my God.
Discovered that joke became a staple for one of the bar shows that we were leading people to in the bar crawl. And so every time the band would start to tell that joke, I would lock eyes with him across the fucking room. And he would just mouth, like, get fucking wrecked. Just like, fuck you. So, at the show, Kyle is doing well, according to the rules. And I look at him and I said, Kyle, what's the difference between a chickpea and a... And he's done. He is already laughing. He's like, you fucking monster. Yeah, and the crowd had no idea, so I finished the joke, and Kyle was like, oh, there's a history behind it. And I was like, they don't need to know. That was just for you. Yeah. Yeah.
Just minor aside. And the first time Joe and I went out together, I don't know, we hung out at a party. Mm-hmm. It was mildly date-like. We ended up at this party on the front porch smoking, and Joe was trying to find an offensive joke that I had not heard.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He had not succeeded by the end of the evening.
No.
No. But yeah, the chickpea joke was, in fact, one of them.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was his lead one, and I was like, $20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah. So the dad joke competition was a thing that happened, and it was massively fun. We do need dedicated scorekeepers, I think, and like people to track how many things of what have happened during what times and that sort of thing. But yeah, we had 6 people participating, and it was amazing. Jake Burgett, small Jake, the Badger, and Fursters was in there. Ooh, cool. Art Allen, who heads up the yeah. Pundemonium, myself, Kyle, and then I'm forgetting one person. Not forgetting Josh. I had just, like, for some reason placed him last. Josh from the booth, one of my darling boothies, was also there. And it was.
Did he participate, or was he just also there?
Well, here's the thing. Like,
he got shanghaied into
Josh. Josh loves dad jokes. He's not good at not laughing at dad jokes.
Oh God!
He was a great audience, but even for his own jokes, which made it extremely difficult. Thankfully, I was off sides and able to laugh at what was happening when he started. He was like, "There's a firefighter, and he's got a set of twins. One of them is named Juan, and he starts laughing at his own fucking joke." And he's just like, "Hang on." And Kyle's like, "No, dude, that's a point against you." And I'm dead against the wall. I'm every time Josh would, like, especially if it was a joke that he really liked, he would just, like, wind up for it. But yeah, I found myself writing dad jokes all that morning and really enjoying it. I talked to my therapist later and I was like, yeah, I feel really, like, creative. I'm really fucking jazzed about this. Yeah.
Well, all right then.
So, yeah.
I suppose there's a niche for everyone.
Thankfully. Yeah. No, that show was a blast. I'm excited to see the next Fearless Presents as well.
So. I think this was the last one of this season. So
of
this
season.
Until the next season is announced, I don't know what that's going to be.
Yeah. I love going to them. Even when I'm not in them, I love going to Fearless Presents. Duck picks fun things. So, yeah.
Yeah.
What have you guys been doing?
Well, I built a door with an asshole.
Oh, that.
The door that has sucks. An asshole?
I mean... I know what I said.
It goes on a fart cabinet.
Yeah.
There you go. It
makes perfect sense.
Jenna, can I share with you the joke that I wrote that I love the most?
Yes, but you can't share it with our listeners. So there.
Okay. Mm. I'll share it with you during the break.
Oh, God.
Listeners, this might be the last known photograph of James.
Just say the joke.
Okay.
Stop dragging this out.
My friend's front door is full of marshmallow chicks. I told him not to install that peephole.
All right, Jenny, you were saying.
Yeah.
You built a door.
Why do we let him on this podcast?
I don't know. You built a door.
Yeah, so I built a door. Then I spent most of Sunday... being sad that I wasn't at Pride while I was working on Fringe stuff.
Yeah.
That was my weekend. I feel like I did something Friday. Oh, I saw the Human Combat Chess Finals.
Mm. Oh, whoa, yeah.
Oh my God. There was one fight.
I heard there was a lot more than that.
That is incredible. Fucking-lutely incredible, and I can't say anything about it, or I ruin it up front.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But if you are able to go see Human Combat Chess this coming weekend, it's the last weekend, fucking do it. Yeah, I can't.
I plan to be there.
more about it, but holy shit, I will talk about that next week.
Cool.
Mm-hmm. At length.
Mm-hmm.
Go see it. Go see it this weekend. Go see it. If you saw it last weekend, go see it again.
Mm.
We will, as they say in the schools, put a pin in that.
Is that what they're saying?
I assume that's what they're saying in the schools.
I really... Okay, honey.
I thought that's what they were saying at, like...
Boardrooms, right?
I mean, possibly boardrooms, or, like, a tailor's establishment.
Shit.
A haberdashery.
Wow. Either way, they have a vested interest.
Oh, see, you ruined it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, good job. Yep. Very proud of you.
A little.
My kids have started their summer sports.
Oh, yeah.
yeah, I read your
book. I read a little, yeah.
Both of them are in gymnastics, and they both fucking love it. And my son is starting soccer.
Hmm.
And my son in soccer is exactly like my daughter in hockey. Okay, everyone.
Why are you throwing him out there on skates, Salsa?
Here we go. Here's the drill. We're going to do this thing, and you're going to go over here, and then you're going to do this. All right? Start the drill. And my kids immediately make a beeline for the coach and start talking to him about God knows what.
They're born performers. It's the problem.
Just like, shut up, stop talking to the coach, and do the fucking drills.
That's hilarious.
And the coach, the coaches, bless their hearts, they're so patient with my children when they're trying to coach everyone's kid, and they've got 20 fucking kids on the ice or on the field that they're trying to, you know, and my kid's over there standing right next to him going, and then we went and did this, and then this. It's just like, shut the fuck up, kid, and go do the drills. Both of my kids are exactly the same.
I believe this to be accurate.
Mm-hmm.
That having been said, my son has quite a talent for soccer.
Hmm.
Yeah?
Like, the coach actually was talking to me. He was like, yeah, he's got some reasonable talent there. Like, he's 4, and he's already, like, kicking the ball, like, in a straight line where he wants it to go. And he's dribbling fairly well, and he's even goaltending, like, with a modicum of ability. So, he has taken to that way better than my daughter did to hockey. That's for sure.
To be fair.
Because my daughter, my God, she was just gonna look at everything but hockey. She's skating around. Puck is over there. I love her.
Skating is a lot more fun than running, though.
Mm-hmm. Fair. That having been said, whereas my son has found a sport in soccer, my daughter is a gymnast.
Oh, yeah. Awesome.
Absolutely. That is her sport. This is her second year in gymnastics.
Oh,
she's 5 now. And like, they're going across the beam.
Yeah.
Like the balance beam. Mm. Not like the one on the floor, but the one fucking up in the air that's taller than she is.
Yeah.
And she's just like, just walking across it.
I was always like, kind of mad that
wasn't...
She's
not even looking at it.
Yeah.
She's looking at me going, hey, Papa, look, la 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 la, just like it's nothing.
Yeah.
So she's got great balance and fearlessness on that, you know, like I said, just no fear, just walk across it, whatever.
I wanted to do balance beam when I was in gymnastics, but they told me it was a boys
girl
event.
Thing. Yeah. Thankfully Asher and Lilibeth are in the same program. So they do basically the exact same thing.
Neat.
So
nice.
But yeah, no, they do the somersaults and the flips and stuff like that, and I've been throwing them around since they were 2, so.
Yeah.
Speaking of which,
yes, Salsa.
I'm sometimes reminded that it's not entirely normal to treat your children like a juggling ball.
I don't understand.
So I'm going to...
It's mostly when he starts mixing in the clubs and chainsaws that people take issue.
I'm going to admit this publicly on a recording, so if my children are suddenly taken away from me, you know why.
Oh.
Because this is going to be people's evidence number two. But we were at my son's end of year party for school. You know, it's daycare, so it's year round, but it's like the summer event. And this year, the summer event has always been a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. This year, the theme was Bollywood, India.
Ooh.
And so you've got my blonde headed son at a Spanish immersion daycare doing Bollywood dancing.
That's amazing.
It was wonderful.
That's fantastic.
It was absolutely fantastic. And man, he got into it.
Yeah.
Like, I will show you guys a video after we're done.
Sure.
Of him he got really into this. But so they choreographed and did this Bollywood dance. And he was having a ball. And then they had actual, local dancers.
Oh, yeah.
Who do Indian dance.
Red.
And they came in, and there was a couple... There was one group that came in and did kind of a fusion. It was traditional Indian dance fused with hip-hop.
Oh, awesome. Modern Bollywood endings.
No. It was like two of the dancers were doing traditional Indian dance.
Sure.
And two of the dancers were doing hip-hop moves.
Oh.
And they were kind of... mirroring each other, but not quite, because even though they were mirroring each other, the styles were different.
Sure.
So the general movement, you know, was the same, the general placement was the same, but the moves were different. You know,
nice. Mm-hmm.
It was really, really interesting to see the kind of that blend and how they played off of each other like that. But then the second group that came in was more traditional dance. You know.
Oh, sure.
And, oh my God, they were doing their thing, and I literally looked up at my wife, and I went, that looks like so much fun, I want to learn that.
Yeah.
Are you going to become a dancer?
And no sooner had I uttered those words than they finished their dance and said, now who wants to come up and learn? I was like I was the first one on my feet. I was like, yeah, let's do this. And then they got the whole big group of us up there, and they taught us a Bollywood dance.
Nice.
Yes.
And they built us up one move at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So here's the first move. Now we're going to do that move to music. Mm-hmm. Here's the second move. Now we're going to do the whole sequence to music. Here's the third move. Now we're going to do that whole sequence to music. Here's the fourth move, and slowly build like that.
What about the fifth move?
Fucking tons of fun. So much fun. I was having a ball. My wife was like, you and your son had the two biggest smiles out there. You were just, I was having such a fucking great time learning this. And then they were done, and they were like, yeah, if anybody wants to, you know, do blah, 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 here's where our dance studio is for classes and stuff like that. And totally gonna do that.
Yeah.
But because they were, I don't even know how to describe it, but they do that. It's like only Indian dancing does this, but they do the bouncing kicks. I don't even know. They'll be standing square to you, and then they'll kick one knee really high, and then it'll bounce on the in front of them, and then they'll go back.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Like that bouncy kicky thing that they do, and they were doing a lot of different. I was just like, that looks like so much fucking fun, bouncing around and kicking around and waving your arms. And it was just like, I'm absolutely going to do this. And then I was talking to a friend who was like, I actually had another mutual friend of ours.
Mm.
Took me to this class one time.
Oh.
He says, I've done this once. He said, it is so much goddamn fun.
Hmm.
Because there's less people, and you have a lot more space, which is good, because you're just flying back and forth.
Oh,
you're moving around. You're not in one place. You're all over the place. And he's like, I was exhausted, but I had so much fun. So I'm gonna totally fucking do this. And I'm talking to my wife, and I'm like, I don't have the fucking time for this. One more hobby is the last thing I need. And she was like, yeah, but look at your face right now. And it's a night that I'm actually free. So,
well, there you go.
So we'll see. If I find the time to go to one of those, because dear God, June and July is not going to happen.
No.
But I will definitely report on that if I do that, because I'm looking forward to something like that. So anyway, yeah, that is the story that of my children playing sports.
Yeah.
Also, you dancing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did remember a thing that I did. Last week, I went to the doctor. You may remember 2 weeks ago, I went to urgent care.
Mm-hmm.
Last Friday, I went in for the regular checkup that I already had scheduled mm-hmm. when I went to... And I was like, well, they've already done all of my labs,
mm-hmm.
and everything's fine, but so do I just cancel my wellness check? So I went in anyway, and they wanted to do things like poke at my boobs and stuff and make sure I don't have cancer or some shit, so that was probably
good idea.
The best.
Yeah.
But yeah, they also did a bunch of their own labs, and guess what? I'm still normal.
Right? No, you're not.
I am medically normal, according to those labs.
All right.
Physically.
Within the margins. You are medically, physically...
How many qualifiers can we put on here?
Here's the thing.
So, I've been gaining weight.
Okay.
Like, I am... 2 years ago, I was a size 6. Which means absolutely nothing to anybody.
Well, it doesn't mean anything to people who make women's clothing.
Well, nope. Nah. But, you know, fairly consistently a size 6 is what I fit
sure,
into.
Sure, sure.
Sometimes even a size 4. Hmm. Occasionally an 8. So I went with 6.
Are there no odd numbers at all?
There are. So in women's clothing, the odd numbers are junior's clothing. And the even numbers are misses. And that's basically how much booty do you have. Because your hips are going to affect how your clothing sits on you.
Right.
So juniors is narrower hips and misses is bigger hips. That's basically what it comes down to.
I see.
It's a little bit more to it than that. But that's roughly women come in two different categories. Uh-huh. So anyway, you can see problems already.
Yes.
So now I wear a size 12. Pretty comfortably size 12, mm-hmm. which is a lot of sizes to grow over the course of a couple of years. However, I'm perimenopausal, and I just kind of mm-hmm. assumed it was a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I go in, and I have all of these labs done, and there some of them were different ones than they did at the urgent care. They did blood sugar, still don't have diabetes, mm-hmm. still don't have any signs of an infection anywhere, so I guess that's good. My blood cell count is great, my everything is fantastic. They also measured, my blood pressure is still amazing, like it's like seriously dead on, like the 120 over 80 or whatever it is.
The most surprising part about that is that you're a project manager and you podcast with us.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah. They measured my the cholesterols, mm-hmm. both the bad one and the good one. I don't remember what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
The bad one starts with an L. The good one starts with an H. That's all I remember.
Lipids.
Sure.
I thought it was saturated and unsaturated, but
yeah, but whatever the initials are, the abbreviation for the elongated term.
Mm.
Anyway, so the bad cholesterol, they were like, yeah, we like to see people like under 180.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely ever see anybody at like 100. You're at 110. I'm like, oh,
that seems right.
All right, that's fair.
Are kind of a wisp of a thing.
not as much anymore. And then the good kind of cholesterol, they're like, yeah, usually we like to see people at least 40 to 50. Women of 50 would be good.
Mm-hmm.
Rarely see anybody hit 70. You're at 67. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, well, fucking nailing this, aren't I? like, seriously, across the board, everything was fucking great. Which is not normal for me. Usually there's something fucked up. My hemoglobin's great.
I don't think that's normal for anybody.
Right. It's weird. It's fucking weird is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But they did also take my weight and my height.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the fun thing. Okay, so my weight has definitely increased. I am 163 pounds. I am no longer as tiny as I used to be.
Okay.
My height... I'm usually 5'2" to 5'2.5", depending on, like, what time of day I'm mm-hmm. measured. My height was 5'3.5". Right.
Huh.
However, I had just come from a massage.
Okay.
One of those work... So I had the work massage first, and then I went in to do all of my vittles. And, what?
All right.
LDL and HDL.
Yes.
Yeah.
HDL, high density lipoproteins are the good.
Yep.
LDL, low density lipoproteins are the bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
But yeah, so I'd had a massage right beforehand where she was focused on like doing neck things where she was pulling at my neck.
Mm.
I think she made me taller.
Huh.
At least in that moment, and probably
I know that
shorter
feel.
Again. But yeah.
I mean, you do get shorter during the day,
right?
That is.
That's why I said like 5'2" to 5'2.5", depending mm-hmm. on when you measure me. 5'3.5" was weird. But I did talk to my doctor. I'm like, so yeah, my only real concern is I'm gaining an awful lot of belly. I'm like, I would assume that's because I'm perimenopausal, and she's like, yep, that's it exactly.
Wow.
Like, that's just going to happen.
There you go.
Welcome to being old. I'm like, oh, goody. Oh. Like, I mean, she was nicer than that, but that's what I heard.
Oh, so, well, yeah, all right.
Yeah. So, yeah. But otherwise, she couldn't figure out any good reason why my head would be vibrating either. Or some of the weird, like, dizziness or fatigue or anything like that, so.
Government. Telling you.
It's all those 5G signals.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Hodge kids, Hodge wife.
I'm just gonna say, I am kidding. I am not. Because they can't see the sarcasm in my face, I'm concerned that they may not...
The day anyone takes anything we say seriously will be the day we need to put in disclaimers.
I worry.
Have you met people, Salsa?
I try not to.
Accurate.
That's accurate.
Yeah, all right. Okay. Well, it's fair. It's tough, mm-hmm. but fair. All right.
I'm actually going to... It sometimes worries me a little bit.
What?
That I feel like I've gotten a lot more
mute.
Yep.
Oh, all right.
Thank
okay.
you.
Yeah, it worries us too. We have to fucking podcast.
I know,
you.
Right?
Yeah.
All right.
Just antisocial.
Sure.
I mean,
like I love doing festivals and I love performing.
Yeah.
But when it's time to just go out into public, I'm like,
I kind of am too.
And I feel like it's gotten worse in recent years.
I mean,
like I never liked going to the grocery store, but now I fucking hate it. And I never liked going to places like State Fair, but now I fucking hate it.
Yeah, I mean, I would have to be going with a group of friends, to hit up the state fair. I don't think I'd ever...
Even going with a group of friends. Like, if I'm going with a group of friends, I want to hang out with my friends at their home.
Yeah.
I just don't want to be in public.
Huh.
And like I said, it's like, sometimes it actually worries me. Like, am I becoming just misanthropic and prematurely old, or am I just like, or is this not a problem and I'm just getting old?
I mean,
I know what I said.
Yeah. I think both. I think both. I mean, I think it's probably that you are more inclined because you just, like, the shine was never on the social experience for you.
Right.
But then, and you don't really have a fear of missing out on anything that I've noticed. But then also,
I don't understand that at no, all.
I already miss out on everything. If I was afraid of something like that, that...
Yeah. So then, that coupled with, just being real tired of humanity is probably... Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it's...
The winning combo there.
I don't know if it's because of me or because of the way the United States is these days.
Why not both?
The internet, having that slapped in your face nonstop all the time.
I don't know.
You're part of the problem, Salsa.
I am. It's true. I accept that. Mm-hmm. I've made peace with that.
A really good internet experience. It was a little while ago. I was on the... Because Reddit is a... hive of scum and villainy now. But there...
It's like 4chan light, isn't it?
There are kind of... And it's real depressing. It's mostly just because everything on the internet is now overrun with Russian bots. That completely aside, I was on the Steven Universe subreddit, and they were discussing some things because they have amazing fan art and cosplays. And, like, it's kind of a really fucking positive place.
Right.
And because Steven Universe,
right?
And somebody in some thing responded to, I think it was a cosplay picture, and they were like, "Blah blah blah, whatever." Like, that's gay.
Like, on the Steven Universe
in a pejorative
Reddit?
Way. It was something like that. And then the first response was just like, "Do you know where you are?"
I'm like.
This is a television program about gay space rocks. You need to chill the fuck out and figure your shit out. Figure out your situation. Like, but the figure out your situation, like, this is the thing about gay space rocks. That was all, that was below the comment that was just like, do you know where you are right now? I fucking loved it, and I was like,
"That's so good!
I can't give this up. I have to. This, if nothing else, this is worth going to."
I do love gay space rocks.
Oh yeah! Oh, that show is so good. Fucking good too. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, no, good internet experience. It happens very occasionally, but does.
That's
it does
the thing
happen.
Is that the more that we're exposed to, the more negative things.
Yeah.
The more people just kind of look to suck.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I wouldn't be surprised at all if that's a part of it. I know that sometimes I have to take Facebook breaks. And I have an entire other account that has zero friends except for myself.
Mm-hmm.
That I use for running business and making sure stuff gets done when I am over Facebooked.
I'm like... I've been seriously contemplating it. I haven't had the opportunity to create the performer account for that, but like that's a good idea anyway, and I should actually have done this a long time ago.
I advocate it.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah.
Being able to separate out that aspect from my personal life and then let my personal Facebook be just what I always wanted it to be.
Yeah.
Just friends. Like actual friends and not Facebook friends, but the small group of people that I consider friends.
Yeah.
Well, I considered, I want to say most of my Facebook friends to be actual friends.
But the thing is, for me, though, like, even friends or not friends,
yeah.
you still get bombarded with so much
you do.
Stuff.
Yeah. Well,
even you know, positive bombardment is still bombardment. Even, you know, people that you like saying things that you're like, I'm not sure if I agree with you or whatever, can still be difficult.
I agree.
Having the account that has zero friends that I can, like, respond to all of the business stuff that I'm associated with via Facebook.
Yeah.
It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
Well, and the thing is, when you see stuff on your Facebook feed that is positive, you compare your own life to their success. Even if you're really happy for them, there is some dark part of your brain, at least mine, that's like, how come you haven't published a book? You write a lot of things. You just need, what's wrong with you that you
James
haven't done this?
You must be really sad with my feed.
I mean, but then there's also... there's also, like, when one of your friends is suffering, that is inherently, like, I feel bad for them and my heart goes out to them. And, like, that, I want them to continue doing that and to receive social support from their friends and to receive the love and admiration of people who matter to them as a means of collectively, like, managing, but I also, like, I get overwhelmed because I want to keep knowing and I want to keep helping and talking to people. I do get overwhelmed.
I just, whenever things happen that are going to be a public thing, I just don't want to do it. Unless it's me performing. If it's me doing a festival or something like that, fuck yeah, I'm all about it. I'm like, let's get the fuck out there, let's do the shows, let's pass that hat, let's make some, you know, schmooze and get my name out there and make
let's show these people a real shot sideshow. Yeah.
Make people happy, entertain them, see that look on their face of wide-eyed entertainment.
Yeah. Right.
But when it's like, hey, we're all going to a thing tonight, I'm just like, no.
Well, and you've got kids and hate people, and that's fine.
But that's what I'm talking about, is, is I feel like I never used to hate people, and now I feel like I hate people. And I'm not sure if I actually hate people or if I just sometimes feel that way.
How long ago do you feel like this started? Because at the beginning of this podcast, you fucking hated people.
But I mean, like, I feel like it's gotten worse.
Well, I mean, that's also possible because people are awful.
Yeah. But
yeah.
But I love them, you know. It's just, you know, some of them don't put their fucking carts away.
I just don't know how healthy it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It isn't. Is being constantly inundated with...
No, I mean, I don't know if me being as antisocial as I'm becoming...
Crabby and curmudgeon-y.
Yeah.
I really feel like it's more that you're the canary in the coal mine. You're just the first to be overwhelmed by the... like, this miasma of social... bombardment and drowning.
But I've always hated the social aspect of way before I was even on Facebook.
Yeah.
Sure.
I remember. That's why you didn't want to join Facebook.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a matter of public record.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It is literally a matter of public record, isn't it?
Absolutely. No, well, I don't know.
Actually,
do those episodes still exist?
No,
they no longer exist.
I think they exist somewhere.
I don't think they do.
In my mind.
If nowhere else.
Yeah. Should we take a break?
I think that's a tremendous plan.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast. Fucking kidding me.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
It was.
Damn it. I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
All right.
Yep.
So what are we going to talk about, guys?
I don't know.
I made a mistake. I was reading something real fucking dark. So I want to talk about something that isn't that, probably.
Okay. Let's talk about my misanthropy more. No.
I mean,
no, oh god, no.
No, I'm joking.
I'm genuinely fine with that.
I have been playing a video game.
Yes.
Okay. So I work from home, and
the hell you say.
Right. What I do is I usually have a non highly interactive video game on the computer next to me.
Something that kind of run itself.
Right. Something that either runs itself or is turn-based, so I don't need to just be constantly interacting. Nothing like a first-person shooter or a third-person,
right.
You know, hack and slash or something like that. Something that requires attention. Something that I can be working, you know, away and then look over and go, I'm going to do this, and then hit a button and then go back to work.
Sure.
You know? And
right.
In the course of the day, I'll play maybe half an hour, all told. Most of that during my lunch break.
Sure.
But I downloaded, it was a few weeks ago, they had this thing, was like free, you know, get this free. The multiplayer version was free for Off-World Trading Company.
Yes.
And so today, I was like, oh, you know, I've been kind of getting bored with the other games I was playing. Let's give this a try. So I downloaded it, and I started playing it. I'm just going to play the tutorials, because fuck the multiplayer.
Let's talk more about your misanthropia.
I mean, I've never liked multiplayer games. This has been a matter of record for forever. And I've made peace with that. But I went and I played the kind of the tutorial campaigns, you know, the learning how to play the game.
Yeah.
And I got to say, it was a lot of fun. So I'm like, yeah, I'll definitely have to give the single player campaign a go. But the reason I'm bringing this up is because I was digging through the menus of the options that you have. Because one of the things that I do is because I am at work. I turn, you know, I mute all the volume and I turn on subtitles and things like that.
Yeah.
So basically the first thing I do is turn off all the audio and turn on subtitles if that's a thing. And while I was looking through the menus, something caught my eye.
Both literally and figuratively.
I mean, if it was literally, that would be rather painful. So no.
I didn't mean with, like, a hook.
Well, how else would you literally catch an eye, James?
God.
What kind of bait would you use for catching an eye?
I don't know.
I mean, clearly earworms are for ears.
Right. What do you usually use to catch walleye?
Brussels sprouts.
There you go.
Oh, all right.
Okay. Sure.
Anyway, this setting in the menu was colorblind adjustment.
Yeah.
Which already is like, oh, hey.
Yeah.
They've made concessions for someone like me who's colorblind. How cool is that? You know, and it's not the first game that has made concessions for colorblindness. But I appreciated that it was there. But it wasn't a checkbox or a toggle. It was a drop-down.
Yeah.
And the drop-down had all of the different kinds of colorblindness in them.
Uh-huh.
They had deuteranopia, protanopia, and tritanopia.
Mm-hmm.
Which, if those words mean anything to you, you're probably colorblind, too.
or friends with salsa.
Or friends with salsa.
But those are the different kinds of colorblindness that you can have. So, based on which kind you have, the color settings are slightly different to be optimized for you.
Yeah.
How fucking cool is that?
It's real fucking cool.
I immediately dropped money on the rest of the game.
Yeah.
Right.
Because of course I'm going to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely I'm going to do that. I've never seen that before. I've always seen a toggle or something like colorblind, and then they just go, okay, we're going to fuck green forever and everything will just be orange. Or something like that, you know. I'm obviously simplifying. But to make minute adjustments based on things like that is unreal. And I was so moved by that. That, like I said, I immediately just spent the money on the rest of the game. So.
It's more and more common. A game on my phone, as you notice, has settings for each of the different...
Oh, neat. So that your,
how many
so
of those could you
yeah.
So
see?
That your phone display, it's so your phone display itself is optimized.
Oh, no, no.
Oh,
that's
no?
just the game
oh,
that does that.
Game?
I mean, my
yeah.
phone does that, too.
Oh, okay. Oh, I...
They both...
Okay.
Yeah, no, no, that...
That was a game?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a menu in a game where they separate it out by which colors are difficult for you. Yeah.
How rad is that? What game is this?
This one is called Color Cube, which you would think, right, would be...
Would be something that I would instantly say, no, I'm not going to touch.
Right, but in this yeah. case, what they do is to swap the palettes... for something that will be more readily visible to you, including combinations of colors overlapping. It's really fucking smart. But yeah, no, I love this trend. I wholeheartedly endorse this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was introduced to the concept well before I met you. Somebody was talking about how much they hated first-person shooters because the aiming... reticle is always a color that they can't see easily, mm-hmm. especially against the background, because you know, mm-hmm. Especially in the early 2000s, everything was sort of like muddy brown, yellow, desert, or
right.
like mud in color with tons of bloom, and then in order to stand out, they would make the aiming mark. Either bright red or bright green.
Okay.
And that made it incredibly difficult for a particular blogger to see. So he was looking into the modding community and started a page for people who couldn't see them. And eventually it became a page for people who have all kinds of accessibility needs.
Okay.
Things like, how easy is it to play if you only have three fingers? How easy is it to play if you have, you know, whatever. Like, all kinds of different specializations for gameplay in order to make the game more accessible to people. So, yeah, no, this is fucking fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But definitely being friends, or at least podcast acquaintances with you, I like to think
like that
we're
disclaimer.
Friends. But I understand that your feelings may be different.
Right.
Has made me hyper aware.
Well, like back when I was in college, the game Set.
Yeah.
Was super fun. I loved the shit out of that game, but I had a hard time playing it.
Mm-hmm.
So my friend who owned it put little dots in the corners of the either the green or the red cards. That way I could play them. He was sweet enough to do that
yeah.
to his own deck. But I can't ask everybody to do that, you know, or something. But the other thing is it was interesting because just a couple weeks ago, a conversation took place between myself,
yeah.
Eric Thompson,
first
French, and I believe it was Mariah Lampkin of
orangutan,
fame.
Yeah.
about the kinds of colorblindness we were.
Yeah.
And it turns out the three of us all had the different kinds.
Oh, she has tetrachromia.
Wow.
Yeah, she has tetrachromia.
Which is the opposite of color blindness.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. She has a like a super color palette.
Yeah. Yep, that's what it was. So,
but that makes
again, this was a few weeks ago.
Difficult
yeah, so,
also.
You know, but absolutely. But Eric Thompson has protanopia.
Yeah.
Or protanopia. Whereas
protanopia.
Yeah, whereas I have deuteranopia.
Yeah.
Or deuteranopia, or however it's pronounced.
Deuter.
His red cones in his eyes are weaker, and my green cones are weaker.
Yeah.
So even though we both have red-green color blindness, it's coming from a different end.
I thought his was blue-purple.
It's because of the red.
Yeah. Well, all right.
Because the difference between blue and purple is...
It's red.
Red.
Yeah.
Exactly. So he has the one, and I have the other.
Yeah.
And so that was fresh in my mind when I opened this game, and it was like, here's the different ones. And I was like, I actually remember which one I am, because I had this conversation just a few weeks ago. So, yeah, that really, really fucking cool. To be able to see a game that makes that a game that thinks about things like that.
Yeah.
Because I certainly would, even being colorblind, it's something that I would just complain about, but not really think about making better.
Sure.
Like there are games where that are have color where I'm just like, fucking game, and then I'm angry about it, and it never even occurred to me to go, well, maybe they can change the color scheme on the fly. For people like me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's just never even really crossed my mind. It was just, that's the way it is. So, it made me very happy. It made me a little emotional. I was pretty excited.
Nice.
I am looking for the... I'm looking for the name of the blog that I read about it, but... yeah, there are a few different blogs for colorblind players that discuss video games, but then there are also some that now discuss board games. Mm. Like the board game, the original version of the Ticket to Ride board game was apparently impossible for colorblind players.
Mm.
The internet is becoming a magical place.
It is. There are good things out there.
For that. Yeah, yeah. Speaking of video games being played recently, Jenna, do you have a...
Yeah. Okay, so I've been playing Wizards Unite.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
As has my wife.
Fuck. All right. I mean, it's Pokemon Go. It's the same game.
Mm-hmm.
But...
Ingress.
Although my wife said that she enjoyed it more than Pokemon Go because the mini games had a bit more.
Yep, it's
more to them.
Functionally, pretty much the same game. There is more story behind it,
mm-hmm.
which
yep.
I love.
Mm-hmm.
And then for Pokemon Go, you just spun a little thing and then flipped it.
Mm-hmm.
This one, you have to trace different patterns for different spells.
Okay,
so that's really nice. Plus you get to have, there's like more fighting, like there's an actual combat thing that feels more combat-y.
Okay. Neat.
So that's nice. Yeah. And I'm pretty addicted.
Yeah. But it's,
I assume that'll be the case for like 2 weeks and then I'll forget about it. And
quite possibly.
Whatever.
I do have to say, I haven't played it myself, mm-hmm. at all, but I do appreciate the mini game aspect that they have put on top of it, because James and I play Ingress, and the thing with Ingress is if you're not at a portal, you can't do anything.
Yeah,
like the game is the portals. If you're not at a portal, mm-hmm. there's nothing to do.
Well, you can recharge your stuff remotely if you have keys and all of that business. One of the things that I appreciated over Ingress
that is not
in Pokemon Go, but that is in Harry Potter, Wizards Unite. Was, as you said, the drawing the shapes thing. With Ingress, there's the base level interaction with the portals, but mm-hmm. then there's the advanced level where you are tracing messages using glyphs.
Advanced hacking, yeah.
That translate to phrases. And so I had, at one point, memorized this this second language.
Yeah.
In order to remember the pass code to a portal as a phrase and that kind of thing. So, like, this idea is really exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and this one, like, it doesn't have you memorize them.
Right.
It shows you the trace for every time that you need to use it.
Yeah.
It's kind of handy. There's a part of me that wants it to evolve into where you don't have that, and there's another part of me that doesn't.
Sure.
Because I feel like right now it's just passive enough for me to mm-hmm. where I can continue to play it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if it becomes more memorization type stuff, I'm gonna fall off the wagon real quick. They do have some other mini games. You've got port keys will take you to a specific room where you have to find things, and it's kind of the like the whole thing is augmented reality, right?
Of course.
Nice.
But when it takes you to a different room, it is much more of a virtual space.
Okay.
You move around that and makes you more see sense. Different
things
and stuff like that.
My wife was trying to explain that to me. She's like, you can teleport to other places. I'm like, but the game is in physical space. How do you teleport to another place? I don't...
Yeah, no, it basically...
That was the part she...
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, the majority of us are augmented, okay. But then you do have kind of a more virtual space that you can go to and you... They're
neat.
Basically, throughout the game, there's been... I'm going to see if I can sum this up real easy. There was a spell that broke a bunch of things, and so now magic is leaking into the Muggle world. Mm. And you're part of a group of people trying to take care of all of those things so that Muggles remain oblivious.
Sure.
Yeah, fairly easy concept. Good with the Harry Potter lore. Yeah, so you're wandering around and you find a thing and you cast spells to make it poof back into the wizarding world.
Sure.
Essentially putting it back to where you found it. And there's a whole storyline about how the things got out in the first place, like what kind of spell was used, who was involved, and so you're uncovering those secrets at the same time. You can as you're out wandering, you can collect ingredients for potions to help you in your wizarding stuffs.
Right.
You can go to places, and this is where it is, like the Pokemon Go, the gyms.
Yeah.
They have, like, specialized wizarding places where you can do wizard challenges. But there are certain fragments of the wizarding world that you can only get in those virtual reality spaces.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which works perfectly with like the idea of the Potterverse, because there's the world that we see as Muggles, and then there's like the wizarding.
Yep.
That's really fucking clever.
Yeah. It's super clever, and it looks so good too. Like, and the augmented reality stuff looks really good. I've got pictures.
Yep,
I've been taking screen caps.
like I said, my wife has been playing, and it's been kind of amusing because she would always yell at me for playing Ingress when we were out and about. And now she's playing Harry Potter when we're out and about, and I'm just like, I'm not going to say anything because when we're near a portal, I'm also playing.
well, and it is. of the three siblings, it is the one that is, I think, politically fraught because of things.
Honestly, I downloaded Pokemon Go and I played it for about a week, and then it just became... Yeah.
A little tedious.
Whereas I'm looking at this one and I'm going, this one might actually have legs.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if I'm playing that, I can't play Ingress at the same time.
Yeah.
And so I really have to choose which one I want to play.
Curious about something, because Ingress is something that, while you can play as a team, and in fact you are assigned a team membership, one or the other, when you start
at the very beginning,
you choose a side.
On Pokemon Go you had three.
You have three.
Is there anything like this?
I haven't seen any team stuff in this yet,
so there's that.
I think I'm up to like level 8 or 9 at this point, so I would have assumed I'd have found it at this point.
Ingress is something that you can play alone, and you can add to your team's things when you find them, or you can destroy the enemy's things, the opposing team's things when you find them.
When you do the wizarding challenges, I think you can do them with friends if they're nearby.
Yeah.
But I don't, it's not really a team thing.
I didn't really get the hang of Pokemon Go when I was first playing it, because I was trying to play it like Ingress.
Right.
But it really is
much more social.
A social event.
Yeah.
I found the joy of it when I was walking malls with people and we were all like, oh, there's a thing over there. Quick, stop. We're going to do this thing. We're going to, you know, we're going to take down this gym together, which is very Ingress-like. But then also there's an event that everyone in the area, regardless of team, can participate in. Mm-hmm. And everyone's trying to accomplish this goal together, which I found really enjoyable. I understand that that's not your speed, but it was.
Well, going back to the Harry joy Potter of that thing, though,
and I'm wondering about the Harry Potter one.
I've seen a lot of the numbers getting shared around.
Yes.
So how? Yep. What social aspect benefit comes from friending people?
I don't know yet. I think the only thing I can think of is the wizarding challenges and those basically the Pokemon Go gym type things.
Okay. Mm.
I think you can do battles with friends on those.
Oh, just kind of friendlies?
Like, because there's spots for more players to fight with you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's what it is, but I haven't actually found anything yet.
Gotcha.
I've got a very long friends list. A whole bunch of people were like, mm-hmm. oh, hey, this is your number. Mm-hmm. I will now add you. But I haven't found that yet. I assume there is something, or...
Do you want to talk about the, like, political implications of, or, like, what it's steeped in? I think
everybody knows.
At this point, you've already said it out loud.
Okay.
I kind of didn't want to, but now that you've said it...
Everyone already knows.
No, I don't know that that's true, and I'm not going to pussyfoot around it now that it's been brought up.
Sorry.
If I had wanted to, I would have brought it up. I
suppose.
So, here's the deal. J.K. Rowling, there's an awful lot going around about her being transphobic. And there are some, like, there are things that she has done or said that definitely allude to the possibility of her being transphobic. I don't think she's said anything specific, but she's liked a post that was transphobic. She's friended somebody who's known to be a TERF.
Yeah.
Some other stuff like that.
Yeah.
I don't know how much she is.
Right.
Or isn't. I have a hard time grappling with that in my head.
Fair.
Especially since... stop interrupting. You asked me to do this. I'm doing this, goddammit. But especially since... When Trump did the kicking the trans people out of the military, she made some very sharp witting bits about that, and was like, you know, basically this coming from a, it was something about men in women's bathrooms. Hmm. And she was like, this coming from the guy that bragged about charging in on women in the dressing room because he could.
Right.
Or, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
So, I have a hard time grappling with the whole J.K. Rowling thing moralistically. How much does me playing the game affect her as a person? If I play it just free without putting any money towards it, does that get me off the hook? Is there a hook to be got off of? Probably. So yeah, there is an awful lot of moral stuff going into that, and I haven't sorted it all out yet, which is why I wasn't going to talk about it. But that is stuff that exists, so still working that out for me. And I know that in today's climate, it is very big to jump to things. That's a thing I try not to do, and it is especially with when we're talking transphobia, that is a hot button area for me. And I feel like in not having, like, just in having talked about it and not having automatically jumped to a thing about J.K. Rowling being a horrible transphobic person, that I'm now a bad guy or something like that, and I don't like that. I want more information. I want clearer information. And I'm not saying that she might not have transphobic things. But I know a lot of people with some transphobic tendencies. It's kind of like the whole how everybody's a little bit racist.
Hmm.
There's an awful lot of people that are still working through an awful lot of what trans means, and some of it's ignorance, and some of it is fear, and some of it is whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to just jump into an us versus them until I have more of an understanding as to how much, what levels, and things like that. So there's, have a bunch of that, and if somebody tries to start to tell me what my mind should be on it, I am going to have a fucking freak out over it. And that's what I'll say about that. Okay, done. Move on.
Bubbles.
I've been playing Breath of the Wild a lot, and I've been playing the downloadable content.
Still the just as good as the first day?
Sword, Trials of the Sword, and it's fucking brutal, but I am enjoying it. And then Bryn has been playing it, and she just recently, because I downloaded Cadence of Hyrule, which is the Zelda redux of Crypt of the Necrodancer. It's a rhythm combat strategy RPG game. She's been getting super, super into that as well. I've been finding, like, if she has a second to sit down while I'm pulling my boots on and things like that, I'll walk outside and find that she's got the Switch out and on and is playing Cadence of Hyrule. It's pretty fucking stellar. So, yeah, weirdly a combination of rhythm game, RPG, and Zelda, which is fucking awesome. So.
I feel like that's the only reason I would get a Switch right now.
Huh.
Because I can't think of any other games that interest me for the Switch.
Hmm.
Aside from a couple little, like, indie type. Like, when when Stefan was here and showed us his little, like, match the shapes with your little block dudes. Like,
yeah,
that was
yeah.
fun, but that's not like a AAA game.
No.
And I certainly wouldn't buy a new gaming system for a little game like that. I feel like Breath of the Wild is the only game so far that has made me even remotely look at a Switch going, oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. Breath of the Wild and Cadence of Hyrule are soon to be followed up by a remake of...
I'm Jenna's showing us screenshots
yeah.
of her playing this
oh,
game.
Wow.
And go what was the name of that spell?
Flipendo.
Flipendo, which just sounds like somebody
you basically flip somebody
end over end. Yeah, yeah. Like that sounds uh-huh. like a racist yelling at a Italian acrobat. He's like,
what?
Yo, hablo flipendo. That's what it amused me.
I'm having difficulty parsing all of what has occurred.
It made
just
sense
now.
In my head.
I mean, sure.
That's the first place my brain went.
On a scale of one to salsa.
Flipendo sounds like somebody who doesn't speak that language.
Oh,
trying
yeah.
to pretend they speak that language.
Yeah, yes. I... wholeheartedly.
There are an awful lot of spells in the Harry Potter universe
yeah.
that are that.
Are there? I never really got into the Harry Potter universe.
Having
so.
A foundation in the Latin roots of
mm-hmm.
Romance languages and especially English words was it kind of ruined a lot of the... And, like, having a deep... foot in the door for existing myths and things like that. Like, introduce the character, Remus Lupin, and I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, it's pretty...
Okay.
Foreshadowing.
All right, well, we know what's going on.
Yep.
Oh, wow. Yeah. But one of my favorite Zelda games is being remade for the Switch, and it looks super fucking cute. And it is single player,
mm-hmm.
and it is, I want to say, one of the best video games I've ever played in my life. So if you already have a Switch, Link's Awakening is coming out.
Okay.
And it is the first video game that ever made me cry. It is also the first soundtrack where I just left it on repeat,
right,
and just sat and listened to it. And I am so excited.
The problem with so many Nintendo titles is you can only play them on Nintendo.
Yeah.
And that just, I don't want to go out of my way getting an exclusive platform for exclusive games. Like, that just, I don't like that. You know, I play most of my games on Steam at this point.
Yeah.
Because most of the games, not all, but most of the games, at this point, come out for PlayStation and Xbox and Steam.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's only PlayStation and Steam, and sometimes it's only Xbox and Steam. But usually you're getting all three. And then there's Nintendo.
I honestly think Nintendo could make just a fabulously enormous amount of money if they were to release on Steam or some other similar launcher. Not fucking Epic. Don't do it, guys. But if they were to release on Steam, like Nintendo Collection, every game released in 81. Nintendo Collection
Over than 20 years or something.
Everything. That's a fucking lot of games. If they release them or like in 5-year collections or something like that.
Absolutely.
Because that would be a wealth of games.
They could do the big ones. They could definitely do individually. Mario Brothers, the Zelda games,
Nintendo
Super
is always
Smash
big
games,
on
things like that,
teaching people the history of Nintendo. Like, right. Super Smash Brothers Melee later games had the trophies or the stickers where it would talk to you about the history of that character.
Right.
First released in 1987's such and such. This character is like this, and this is their attitude towards life. And blah, blah, blah.
I understand their business model.
Yeah.
I get it. Like, consciously, I get it.
Yeah.
They have their games on their platform, and that means they make money both ways, and that's as a business plan, I get it.
One of the things
as somebody who doesn't like having to buy, who doesn't have the extra cash to buy just another video game console, that just excludes me from that whole menu completely. You know?
Yeah. So. Yeah.
Oh well, that's my beef.
There is always piracy.
I just want beef now.
Beef. How about a break?
Okay.
Yeah, I need to pee real bad.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
Hey everybody, you should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast, or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for apropos of nothing.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
And I'm Jenna.
Yay! And we have things to decide. Five things, as a matter of fact.
Five?
Yes,
five.
And we're going to do it very quickly because this is the Fast Five!
Fast Five!
For those who do not know, the Fast Five is you send us five choices. We do not know what these choices mean. We only know what you have sent us. It is only after we make our choices that we get to find out what that means.
Mm.
So today's Fast Five comes to us from a person who we all know. Who do you think it is?
Is it Steve?
Is it? No.
Oh.
Who do you think it is? James. Who do you think it is?
Glenn Gary.
No.
Glenn Ross.
No.
Oh.
Glenn.
Come on, there's only a few
Glenda.
Usual suspects here.
Mud.
No.
Stefan.
Is it Mav?
It's Mav.
Yay! Oh, shit. All right.
Greetings, Mav says. Greetings, one and all. And, of course, as always, James.
Fuck.
I like him.
It is with mixed emotions that I present you with yet another Fast Five from Mav. Hey, that's me. I have decided to change things up a little on this one.
Oh, God.
As always, no theme, no direction. But this time, they make no sense.
Oh. Well.
At least not at first.
I know,
we'll it's a big jump for me, but let's see what we can make happen here. Let's get to it, shall we?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Question number one. Random or scheduled? Yeah, I know.
I don't understand the question.
I don't understand the question for exactly the opposite reason.
So scheduled,
and random.
If nobody could tell.
I mean, I enjoy eating scheduled lunches, but random food opportunities really make the day amazing.
All right.
That's nice.
Like, my day would suck without a scheduled lunch, but random food is just phenomenal. I'm going to go with random food, because that's something you write home about. You're not like, oh, guess what happened at work today? I had lunch on, you know.
You write home about food?
I actually do message Joe about lunches.
Yeah. But, like,
Because my place of employment is real fucking swank with the food, and we have, like, every day we'll have a different restaurant in one of our stations. Mm-hmm. And, like, you know, yesterday it was, Wokery or whatever. So
Chinese.
Yeah. Like, today was barbecue, but ever since KC, it's not actually barbecue.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Anyway.
You totally just became that person.
Yep.
The person who gets home from Spain and insists on pronouncing it Barcelona.
That is person. How it's pronounced.
Yes, I know, James. But I don't insist.
Have you been to Spain?
James is also that kind of person,
in general.
No.
Anyway.
No, but
Moskva?
But as a side tangent, I had messaged my work services a few months back to be like, hey, have you guys ever thought about putting in a smoothie machine? Those are really healthy, and we're all about healthy stuff, right? So maybe a smoothie station would be really cool. Like, I'm supposed to have more fruit, blah, 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 whatever. Guess what we're getting?
Oh, fuck.
Yeah. A taco station.
I mean, sometimes.
Taco smoothies?
No, God.
Taco smoothies.
That's just chili, isn't it?
Taco smoothies.
Yes.
Which we do have daily chili.
Is also my new
Led
Zeppelin cover band.
Yes. We're getting a smoothie station, and I am fucking pumped.
That sounds amazing.
I'm really scared that they're going to put banana in everything, though.
Oh.
Like, they sell naked juice, but I can't have it, because all naked juice has a banana in it.
Oh.
Right?
Some of them have avocado. So
do all of them have avocado?
I feel your pain to a very limited extent.
Like, I'm like, yeah. Green machine, this should be fine. Nope.
Bananas can be green.
No. So anyway.
Bananas are like the opposite of a stoplight. Because green means wait, and yellow means go, and red means where the fuck did you get that banana?
Question number two.
Thanks, Mitch. Yes.
I wrote home about pot roast when we had it at work.
Colorblind.
Oh, fuck.
Or paralyzed.
I
feel like paralyzed is way worse in this one.
Didn't paralyze me with science.
She didn't colorblind you either.
I mean, I feel like colorblind and everything else blind.
Kind of a stretch, James.
Agreed.
Kind of a stretch. And by kind of, I mean,
that's totally
holy
a stretch.
Fuck, we just spanned the Grand Canyon with that one.
Like, you're part of the Fantastic Four or some shit. Like, it's a lot of stretch.
So much.
Anyway, I'm going to go colorblind. I'm not actually literally going colorblind. I'm just going to choose the colorblind option for
this. I think
this.
If we
okay.
drink enough Malort, that'll happen on its own.
Oh, that's fair.
I don't even like the taste of the word anymore. All right.
Colorblind?
Yeah, I'll go colorblind.
Okay. Question number three. I mean, joke or news? I would rather listen to jokes than the news.
Yeah.
Any day of the week.
Right. I would also prefer to get my news from late night shows
comedians.
Than from like NPR.
Yeah.
I have been watching on my TV, which I have at my workstation.
I mean, that is...
Again, while I'm working, I have the TV on as just noise. But I have had YouTube on there, and I have been watching Last Week Tonight with John Oliver.
Fucking love that.
It's real fucking good.
Yep, I've been enjoying the shit out of those.
Yeah. Whoa, yeah.
Yeah.
I would much prefer getting my news that way.
Yep.
I miss Jon Stewart.
I do too.
It's
good.
The Daily Show is still good, but it's just not quite the same.
Yeah, Trevor Noah is a different energy.
Mm-hmm.
Although I do love him.
He's very good. I will absolutely watch him. But
God, also, his stand-up specials are fucking amazing.
Also, his outtakes. Have you seen the Trevor outtakes?
Yes.
Oh my God.
The between the scenes thing with Privilege, when someone in the audience was hey, you know, what about blah 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 Privilege for people who have been poor their whole lives, and he's like, here's what you need to know.
That's not a thing.
Fucking awesome. But he handled it with incredible aplomb.
So good.
Yeah.
So fucking good.
He was just he's magnificent at what he does. Mm-hmm. It is a very different show.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
I'm gonna say news. I'm gonna part with you two on this one only because The Onion is getting closer and closer to actual news.
Oh God, that's accurate.
Rule. What is it? Rule. Godwin's Law.
Yeah.
No, Godwin's Law is the Nazi thing.
I mean, it's still accurate in a sad way.
If you were gonna say Rule 34, I was.
No,
just
not. It's not Rule
like,
34. What's the one? It's not Godwin's Law. It's the one where parody
reality approaches parody.
Yeah, until it's indistinguishable from one another.
That one I don't know.
Fuck.
Well, someone will remind us.
We'll look it up.
It's Heinlein's shaving mirror.
It's Poe's Law.
Poe's Law. Of course, yes. Poe, yes.
Without a clear indicator of the author's intent, it is impossible to create a parody of extremes.
Yeah.
Because they're indistinguishable from reality.
Yeah. It's becoming...
Poe's Law is basically just the world we live in now.
Yep.
So I'm going to say news.
All right.
Question number four.
Question number four.
Inserted.
I had a date like that once.
Or injected.
Did you have
a date like that once, too.
I'm going to go with chicken.
Do
you prefer inserting the stuffing? Or are you like injecting the meat? Yep, that's what I'm going with. Turkey. That's what I'm going with. Going with turkey.
That's not an answer, though.
It's the turducken of answers.
I prefer the tur baby seal ducken.
I don't. I have a serious fear of needles. I'm not
suppository.
Huh? No.
Versus shots.
Maybe, but I would still go with a suppository.
I wasn't afraid of needles before, but now I'm afraid of a needle that can give me suppositories.
A needle full of suppositories? Is that new Led Zeppelin cover band?
No, that's my parody of A Spoonful of Sugar.
Okay.
A needle full of suppositories helps the medicine stay there.
I'm going to go with insert.
Injected.
Because inject reminds me of needles, and I'm not down with that.
Injected for me.
And maybe it's like a birth control question, in which case I still don't know.
Pick one.
Injected.
All right. Question number five. Here. Okay. Or there.
Here.
Okay, go, Grover. Yes.
There.
I'm going to go right here because there's people there. There's no people right here.
Salsa, I have terrible news for you.
I'm going to go there because of the people here.
Fair. I'm going to end up there because Jenna's told me I have to get out of here. So there.
We gotta so there. Get out of this place.
Okay.
Have we all said our thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
This is closed with Mav.
Oh,
that's all that. Yeah.
Oh, all right.
All right.
You built now we find an out. Awful lot of.
It's true. Mm-hmm. I do. It's my thing.
All that build up for three letters.
Question number one.
Yeah.
Random or scheduled?
Okay.
Romance is coded into most people's DNA. For others, it can be a learned skill, a sense of acceptance by a partner, or even sometimes as a defense mechanism when we screw up. And let's be honest, it can really be a fun challenge for some of us. The problem sometimes, we are just too busy to pay attention. Or are we tired and stressed and you don't want to deal with it? So the question is, would you rather be randomly romanced by your partner or have it scheduled like, does every other Tuesday at 9 p.m. work for you?
Scheduled.
Really? How awful would that be? Random. Absolutely random.
I mean, I love that in my life it doesn't have to be random. It's not an either or. I get all of the above. So okay.
Scheduled isn't romance. That's an obligation.
Oh, no.
It's an excuse.
That just... No.
Also,
if I schedule a date with Joe...
Mm-hmm.
Number one, that date can be romantic as fuck all.
Also true.
Number two... Yeah. I know that I have everything cleared aside, he has everything cleared aside, and we can just focus on each other.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to, if you do something randomly, you might have other shit that comes up, there might be, fucking something on your brain that you weren't able to clear out ahead of time, or whatever, you might not be 100% invested. And I love the idea of being able to better prepare to spend one-on-one time with my loved one.
To no one's surprise, I feel exactly the opposite of that.
I am preparing my least surprise face.
Well done.
You know, I'm gonna go with random for the same reason that I went with food. For the food reasons, I
gonna
scheduled
write home about it.
I mean, sometimes.
God,
is
your
it pot
mom?
Roast?
Your mother is getting a lot of really dirty letters, isn't she?
I mean, probably. I don't know. According to vilifiers. The scheduled, like the very regular everyday, you know, good morning, sleep well, you know, snuggling up, the every week kind of thing. Wednesdays and Fridays or, you know, whatever the thing is. Like that's important. That is the basic food. That's your lunch. That's the thing that you need every day. But in your mind, the thing that does stick out are those like little things that are off of that schedule. The things that you don't expect.
I don't understand.
I know. I know that you don't.
I spend all of that time just being anxious about what I'm forgetting or what's missing or what's not happening.
I'm lucky enough to have partners that are, you know, kind of all across that spectrum. Some of them are very, like, this is the schedule, this is what we do. And then some of them are, you know, more like, we're having a bonfire, what are you doing? You're out of state? Cool, next time. Which, you know, it does make those times that I spend with each partner valuable for a different reason. But especially like those things which are a surprise have that, I think, additional delight to them of surprise, where your additional delight comes from seeing the fruition of the plans that have been made.
Sure.
Yeah.
I also just love knowing that I don't have to worry about anything for a specific period of time. Like, I'm okay with scheduling the time, but not necessarily the what.
Fair.
In fact, that was one of the first things Joe figured out about me. He was like, you like scheduled spontaneous time, don't you? I'm like, yes. Yes.
Yeah. Think of it like an improv show, Salsa.
No.
The show is going to go from 7:30 until 9.
No, those words do not belong together. No.
But anything can happen in that improv show.
Yeah.
No.
It is just like that.
Except when the characters suggest fucking, it actually happens.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Best improv.
Okay, we got him a little more on our side by saying
no,
that the
not even
happened.
Close, not even close. You just no, schedules mean obligations, and obligations mean you have to do it whether you want to or not. Random means you do it because you want to.
Part of the romance is that you want that thing. Is that you have made a choice to do that thing ahead of time.
Right, you have made that choice ahead of time. And now 5 days later, you're saying...
I have spent the past 5 days getting really excited over this date.
Right, and then your day is shitty, and you're like, well, I have to do this thing anyway. Look,
day is shitty, I'm extra excited.
Or I can say, I want to have sex with you right now.
Okay, so let's go.
Because we can't... because you can't keep your... fucking mitts off each other. It's got to happen right fucking
now. Yeah, Salsa, come on.
I'm not feeling it right
now. Let's wrap up
this
podcast.
I'm not feeling it right now.
Well,
talk to my secretary, schedule something.
Oh, fuck. Jenna?
He's scheduled. I am not his secretary.
I tried to think of the most offensive joke that I could make at that moment, and that was it.
I mean, as a woman in the tech industry, often mistaken for a secretary.
Yeah.
You got real close.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, Salsa's secretary. Ugh.
I know.
Anything scheduled is anathema in the field of romance.
Device?
As far as I'm concerned.
Oh.
It is.
And although it was never going to happen, this is why we will never date, Salsa.
I've made peace with that.
It's me too. Boom, high five. Okay.
I just imagined something.
Question number two.
There were four horsemen there. Huh.
Question number two.
All right.
Colorblind or paralyzed? I am willing to bet that Salsa assumed this is in reference to him in some way. Well, it sort of is.
Oh. Oh, well. All right. You know what happens when you assume.
Would you rather...
You are sometimes correct.
Would you rather be colorblind for only 1 hour every day, every day for the rest of your life, or be paralyzed for 12 hours a day every day for the rest of your life?
What?
Huh.
I don't understand why you would choose paralyzed.
Neither do I.
I mean, I might choose those for sleep.
I would take the colorblind one. You know what that means? I would be less colorblind than I am now. It would only be 1 hour a day.
Well, that's fair.
I would absolutely choose that one. That's an upgrade for me.
I think it really depends on, like, if I get to pick when.
So you're going to schedule it?
Yeah.
You would be paralyzed for 12 hours. Hours over not being able to see color for 1 hour?
It doesn't have to be all in one.
That 1 hour could be while you're asleep. You might never notice.
All my dreams would look like noir films.
And that would be awesome.
I'm seriously reconsidering my answer.
Yeah, you really should. I have no idea why. How? Mav, how bad do you think colorblindness is?
Apparently really fucking terrible. Also, even if it was during the day, if you were colorblind, your life would look like a noir movie, and you just randomly walk around going, she walked into my office one hip at a time, and everybody's going, why are you talking like that on the subway?
So let me flip this then.
Okay.
Would you rather be colorblind for 12 hours out of the day, every day for the rest of your life, or paralyzed for 1 hour?
Still going with colorblind.
Sosa's already colorblind like 12 hours a day.
Still an upgrade for me. I really feel like this is the like vaccine or autism thing, which is not a dichotomy, by the way.
I chose
but
autism.
Even if it was, you're saying that that's worse, and it's just not.
Right. It isn't. Yeah.
Agreed.
I might be paralyzed for an hour.
You're weird.
I'm moving on, because I don't even want to hear his explanation.
I kind of don't either.
Question number three, joke or news? Strangely enough, these are far too often redundant in both definition and presentation. Mm. But not this time. Would you rather hear the same joke every day, or see/hear the same news every day?
I mean, it's been a long couple years.
I'm going with the joke.
I work at a Ren Faire.
Fuck. All right.
I look in the mirror every day.
Okay, aww. But I believe it's pronounced apropos.
Question number four. Oh, James?
That was my answer.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Inserted or injected? This has the potential for becoming a very naughty question.
What? I mean, you don't.
However,
it is a very naughty question.
If you had to get an egg into your body,
would you rather insert medication into your body, for example, taking a pill, or would you rather inject the medication, for example, getting a shot?
Insert.
Every day for the rest of your life.
Oh, God, no.
Because we're allowed to take a pill orally, I would say that one. Because I already kind of have to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I already do take daily pills, so...
When I was working overnights, I was taking pills to help me sleep and
honestly,
to replace my daylight and all of that stuff every single fucking day, so...
You know, there's curtains. You don't need to take a pill.
What?
You replace your daylight. There's, like, electric lights and curtains.
Oh.
Yeah.
Even if the question was... Would you rather take a pill every day or a shot every month? I would still go with the pill. I hate needles.
Mm-hmm.
Fair.
Living with a diabetic is exciting.
I don't hate needles, but I think I would still choose a pill. Because I don't drink nearly enough water, and that's a good enough excuse.
That is definitely a way to do that, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Question number five. Here or there? Do you find yourself living life more in the here and now, or in the then and there?
Ooh. Sorry, I was just thinking about all the things I still need to get done for Fringe, so...
There was, unfortunately, is not a future tense in here.
I assume that there is...
I live in the here and now, personally.
Well, I mean, unless Mav specifies, I think the there and then could be... either the future or the past, or both. Are you constantly living for things that have happened and things that will happen, or are you in the here and now?
I can see that. I'm still going here and now.
I think... Go ahead.
I mean, this is why I have problems doing improv. I'm really bad at being at the here and now.
Huh.
I honestly think like that's the hardest thing for improv for me.
I know that this is going to be an enormous shock to, I mean, Jenna specifically, but I'm bad at planning things. The reason that I went to my first college town was that friends were going there, and they were like, hey, yeah, we're headed down there. Do you want to get an apartment with us? And I was like, that seems like a good idea.
Was
so
it?
I moved towns and got a job down there and went to school 4 hours away, like, all just because I was like, oh, that's where my friends are going.
You're not good at this.
I mean, things turned out okay.
Did they? Yeah. I'm going to give everybody a brief window into my life with schedules.
They're not romantic.
I don't, he says.
I have a meeting at work that happens at 11:30 every single day. In order for me to not miss this meeting, I have no less than 3 different warnings. I have one on my phone and 2 on my computer. And I still miss those meetings.
Like every day or every other day?
Every so often I still miss those meetings because fuck scheduled shit. Fuck scheduled shit.
I mean, my job is to schedule meetings. I know. I know.
And again, this is why we would never be able to date or really, you know, work together.
I just see you as being totally incompatible block systems.
I thought you were going to say incompetent, and that's also true.
No, not even that.
The thing is, hold on. No, I'm going back to this work together thing.
Yeah.
Because, like, we've worked together on projects before. And that's been fine.
For, like, Die Laughing, yeah, but we don't work together.
Yeah, but I still talk through schedules with you, and you hit milestones, and you...
And I hate do all every that. Second.
Oh, good. I'll give you more milestones then.
Saturday, I went to a concert with my mom. It was a Philharmonic and also live band redux of Beatles music. And it is...
I'm waiting to see how you're going to tie this back into the topic.
Having listened to Beatles my entire life, recordings of the Beatles, and having listened to recordings of people's covers, this was 100% an incredibly different experience. Being there in the here and now with it being performed live in front of me was massively different.
Boom.
And it was an experience. And no recording that I could make of it, no picture I could take, no story I could tell about it would capture it in its entirety. And I've had too many experiences like that at the booth, at other events. And no matter how good that story is, like, that moment in our minds is always fucking amazing. So, here and now.
Boom. I love it. All right. We wrap this up by saying, these are really strange and so not in Mav's character. You may not be asking yourself. If you are asking yourself this, then good on you, mate. If not, then worry not, my fellow bipeds. This mind of mine works in mysterious ways, and there is a plan in action here.
Oh.
Oh, shit.
If I know the three of you, as I think I do, and my calculations are correct, you should be able to take all 5 of your answers in order and combine them to provide you a very special message.
Oh.
I'll give you a moment to work it out.
Okay.
Okay. So again...
The first question.
Random or scheduled.
Scheduled.
2, colorblind or paralyzed.
Colorblind.
3, joke or news.
Joke. Scheduled, colorblind, joke.
4, inserted or injected.
Inserted.
5, here or there.
There. Whoa. Scheduled, colorblind, joke, inserted there.
Very close.
Very close.
Mav says, did you get it? Much love, Salsa. By the way, yes, these do work regardless of how you answered, but the specific message I was after was random colorblind joke inserted here.
Got it.
Fuck.
Got it.
Man.
God.
Wow.
Damn it. Shit.
Salsa, those were all of your answers.
Yeah.
Well,
those were your answers. What the? Oh my God! Yep. Well, Mav, your magic.
No, right. that actually absolutely was.
All right.
God damn it! That was you, beautiful bastard. Oh. I hate you and love you so much right now. I mean, like, take me in the back of a dumpster, you bastard.
We'll bring you out to ring three.
But it's got to be random. Anywho, this is still Mav, by the way. Anywho, tune in next time when we discuss that strange rash on James's ass and Jenna's absolute disgust with the fart box. Whose turn is it to disinfect it anyway? And could that rash have anything to do with the fart box? You don't want to miss the next week on AON. Signed, Mav.
All right, then.
Salsa, yes, okay, and my turn.
That... Wow. I'm right, giving then. My shout-out to Mav.
Hmm.
Just fuck. That was...
That was pretty good.
That was beautiful.
That was pretty impressive.
The wow. The level of craft that took way more than a few minutes at work. That took some craft right there. Mm.
Somebody needed a distraction from his day.
No, that was a full shout out, right? Just straight to Mav. That was a thing of beauty. You should be proud of that. Full stop.
Mm.
Anyone else?
Yes, I have a thing. I want to do a shout out for the Refugee and Immigrant Center for Education and Legal Services. RAICES, I guess. RAICES.
Mm-hmm.
Races.
Yes. But basically, this is an organization that serves immigrants and refugees in our community by providing immigration-related legal services, advocacy, and opportunities for educational and social support. Right now, I have on my Facebook a fundraiser to raise money for this group to help specifically with refugees at the border and the kids in the camps and the everything like that. They are providing legal services, and they can only afford to do that if they have money. I can't go down there and protest. I can't.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so much that I can do through Congress or whatever else. So the next thing that I have is giving money to those who can do those things. So my shout out is to those people. My money's also to those people. And if you would like to donate, I can post this to the AON page, I think. I think I can share it. Otherwise, just go give them money so that they can help. One of the biggest things that they do, actually, is they post bail for people that are on their way towards hearing, which allows those people the ability to collect the things that they need to have a successful hearing.
Yeah.
And that is a huge thing. And the minimum bail is usually about
$1,500. Fuck.
So, yeah, I'm only trying to raise $500 because I don't know how much I can. I would love to raise $1,500 to actually post a person's bail. But, yeah, that is a very strong need. And I am very thankful to these people for doing this kind of work. In an area where I cannot. Mm-hmm. So.
Go ahead and make sure you send that to me so I can put it in the show notes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
James?
I want to make a shout out to my friends. These last few years have been really difficult for me. But my friends have stuck by me and have given me opportunities and have pushed me. And I mean, I still suck as a person, but I have made a lot of progress. And I realized a lot of that this last weekend. And I just appreciate the people in my life. I know that it's not always easy to do construction projects with me or to schedule.
Oh, wait, I have a picture. I'm going to send you that too.
or to schedule time with me or to have random time with me. But I really appreciate it. however much you are in my life, if you are a friend or acquaintance of mine, know that it makes my life better. So thank you.
All right. Anybody have anything to plug?
Oh, hey, this Friday, I'm in a Vilification Tennis show.
Oh, hey.
Vilification Tennis goes on vacation. Woo. Yeah, and I'm going to be partnered with Mr. Nepple.
Oh, shit.
And we are so much fun, and I am so goddamn excited.
That is very exciting.
Yeah. We're going to have so many stupid insults. It's going to be great. Just really dumbass insults. I'm so excited.
That is one of my favorite things about both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that. And then I'm doing a bunch of stuff at Convergence.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll talk about that next week. Fuck it.
Yeah.
Either you're going to Convergence or you're not.
Yep. Yeah.
So.
If you're not already aware, tomorrow is the first of the 2019 Murder on the Mystery shows.
They still had a couple of tickets left.
Okay. Like, as of yesterday, I think they had 20 tickets.
A little under 20. Okay. But yeah.
So, check it. There might still be tickets left, and fucking go to this show. I can't go. I'm going to be going in the August.
Mm-hmm.
I am also going to be going at the August show.
I believe August is the only one. Either August or September. We haven't quite decided yet, but I think August is the one we'll be
going. Go August. I'll be going August.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Because I can't do it this month, and because I have a thing tomorrow, and next month I will be in Europe.
Yeah. I have rehearsal tomorrow, or I fucking would be on that boat tomorrow. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
Plug.
Things at Convergence. Talk to you about it next week.
All right.
Cool. Let's make lists.
In that case,
let's schedule it.
Thank you so very, very, very much to every single person who listens to this show. Thank you to Mav for that Fast Five.
Yes.
On behalf of myself and Jenna and James, thank you so much for listening. Eat the fucking cake.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.